This is Peter Adkiss, and giving a shout out to all of you out there listening to Gamers Haven and also Fistful of Comics. Keep it up.
This is Shane Hensley, creator of Deadlands Reloaded and Savage Worlds, and you're listening to the Vorpal Network.
It's game time.
Quiet, please. I am analyzing.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Is the next step the transplantation of the human brain?
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
Stand by for action.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Okay.
Remember, we're not dealing with an intelligence on our own level.
Bring in the logic probe!
Ooh!
End of line.
Welcome back to the Gamers Haven podcast. This is episode 50. We are 50. We are almost on Medicare. Not really.
No, that's 65.
That's 65, okay. When we have episode 65, we'll be on Medicare.
By the time we get there, it'll be 67.
That's true. That's
yeah.
True.
And by the time we get to 67, it'll be 70.
So when our series hits 65, will we be on Medicare or do we have to be 67?
I guess it depends on when it hits 65.
Yeah. We'll have to determine that, you know.
Well, actually, I don't know, because when was our podcast born?
The podcast technically debuted like November 21st, 2006.
So it's probably going to be later than that.
Okay.
It probably won't exist.
Yeah, there probably won't
there
be.
Will be no world at that point. There won't be anything, just darkness.
Yes. Just darkness?
Just darkness.
Yeah.
Darkness in our podcast.
Are you playing around with the time machine again?
There'll just be darkness in our podcast.
Darkness and our podcast. Yeah. Okay. So
living in a world
of
darkness.
No one will be listening to us, then why are we still doing the podcast?
The podcast will be listening
to us. I mean,
we
have like three fans.
Well,
I know I received email from all three.
You can still listen in darkness.
Okay, so the world's still there, it's just in darkness.
Well, it's dark, so you're not sure.
But there are people in the darkness.
Maybe. They might be zombies or cannibals.
But they listen to our podcast all the same.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
There's nothing you can do in the darkness except listen to the podcast.
That's true.
Because there are no lights.
But we're 50. This is episode 50. And I think today we are going to talk just sort of BS a bit on some gaming stories we have and sort of where we came from, where we're going, and we'll try to get all existential on you and
how
probably
we're going
fail
to over the bodies to get there.
Yes, all the small people that we stepped on to get here, and that means you, Jeff, by the way.
In the darkness.
Yes, well, Jeff obviously in South Carolina being stalked by a serial killer.
There's a serial killer in
they
South
shot
Carolina
him.
Well, yeah. There's not a serial killer anymore.
I haven't checked to see if it was Jeff or not, so.
We should probably check.
I'm sure it wasn't Jeff. Jeff's too nice of a guy
news.
To be a serial killer.
I wouldn't put it past it. It is Jeff. He might send us some audio. Who knows? Anyway.
The reason why I did
we
the
are,
things that I
we
did.
We are celebrating our 50th with this fine release episode where we have some major announcements to make. And
we have major announcements?
We do have major announcements. We're going to talk to you about something called CantCon in a bit, so
yeah,
I think we'll hit on that maybe in random encounters.
The Carolina serial killer doesn't look like Jeff.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. You sure he's not wearing a wig or nose and glasses?
No. Okay.
That's good. So, Jeff, we're glad you're not the South Carolina serial killer.
I think he's probably too scruffy.
Okay, that's good. We'll be back after this.
Get the newest releases at RPG Now. Only at RPG Now can you get the absolute latest and best releases from fantastic publishers like Fat Dragon Games, Green Ronin Publishing, and Wizards of the Coast. There are new products every single day. Come to RPGNow.com and get them the instant they're available.
Gamers Attic Attack!
We have dice of every stripe, any color scheme and shape you can imagine. Exclusive dice, gold-plated dice, blank dice, label dice, cheat dice, D8 ability dice, crystal dice, time dice within dice dice, and jumbo foam dice for when you feel the inescapable urge to pelt your fellow players or annoying commercial announcers. And that's just a few of them. We sell enough dice to form a high-intensity plastic bridge from the Earth to the Moon. What's more, any order over $30 gets $3 off when you use the coupon code RADIO. Who wants a set?
I do.
Who else?
Me.
Anyone else?
Why are you ignoring me?
I'm not ignoring you. I'm cutting you off.
What?
You order a new set every day.
So?
Is there a 12-step program for Diceaholics? Because you, sir, have a problem.
That's really strange of you to say.
Green frosted, red speckled, violet glitter, blue translucent. You couldn't say no to these beauties if you wanted to.
I'm not an addict. I could stop collecting marbles anytime I like.
Marbles? You haven't been buying marbles this whole time. You've been buying dice.
That explains why I keep losing the marbles tournament. Those 4- and 6-sided marbles aren't really all that great for rolling.
You're not only a dice junkie, you're dumb, son. Dumb.
So can I get a set?
What'll it hurt? Sure.
Woohoo! Marbles!
Remember, folks, use the coupon code RADIO to get $3 off any order over $30 at GamersAddict.com.
Welcome back. We are, of course, talking about us being 50. And of course, I think collectively we're over 50. But that's if we add all of our ages together. But really, we're talking about, really, I think probably close to 50 as far as, like, if we combine the amount of years that we've been gaming.
How old are you?
I don't remember. I have Alzheimer's.
28, fine.
I'm 29.
Nope, 28.
I'm 29.
Too late.
It's too late? Oh, darn, okay. So, I was born in 1981.
Whatever. We're about 87.
But I was born in 1979.
We're in the 80s.
I saw the last week of the 70s.
87.
Okay. Jeremy has, of course, decided to do mescaline again. We'll see if he insults Great Britain this time.
Was going to insult France, but already has been done multiple times.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be just
actually, you can't really insult France because it's France. So, what more can we say besides that it's France? What about Belgium?
I like Belgium.
You like Belgium? Oh. Austria?
I don't
really Austria
know
is where
Arnold
Schwarzenegger came
true,
from.
That's true.
Schwarzenegger.
Czechoslovakia? The Czech Republic? Can we?
Hey, those people have enough problems with what's going on in their country. We don't need
what
to
about
be
about Mongolia? Do we not like Mongolia?
Like
Mongolian barbecue.
Kind of scared of Mongols.
Now, what country can we hate? We can't hate Canada because it's Canada.
Well, we could.
We could, but they have maple syrup and hockey.
Yeah. I mean, we could stick with the French.
So, well, what about the French Canadians?
Fun. Well, they're Canadian. They're
That's
not
true.
French.
That's true. What about Alaskans? They're foreigners, right?
Except for the whole American part.
So, they're up in Alaska. They're not really Americans. I'm seeing if I can get myself into trouble with this now.
How about we just agree to hate the people on the moon? There's moon people?
Yes.
I don't think that's on the internet.
Of course it is. Everything's on the internet, and if it's on the internet, it's true. It's where you read about the lizard people, remember?
We can make fun of the lizard people.
That's true, but I don't want to be killed in the night.
To
David Icke?
David Icke, who is?
English.
Oh, right.
Yes.
We don't go back to the French.
Sorry.
Why don't we go back to the French?
We had a bag on the British again, Jeremy. Good job.
I didn't do it.
Someone's going to hurt you.
It wasn't my fault.
Our British correspondent's going to track you down and
kill
you.
We can make fun of the French. I'm looking up making fun of the French now.
That's true. Well, it's fairly easy.
Currently making the rounds in a military community, the complete military history of France. Basically, the wars they lost.
Okie dokie. But we're 50 today. I know back when we set out to actually still have that recorded, that first brainstorming session that we did.
They have some ties.
They have ties?
Well, yeah, most of them are losses, but they do have some ties.
Oh, that's good to know.
Well, they kicked the crap out of the British there for a little while in a couple wars.
That is true.
Then they lost.
Then they lost.
Yeah.
They
Everybody
lost
loses.
To the British.
Yeah.
The British have kicked the crap out of Germans. English or the Americans. Remember
we won.
The War 1812.
But they're no longer in Canada, so it works out.
But We are, of course, going to be talking a bit today about us turning 50, and
we really didn't have any reminisce
on some gaming stories because we were racking our brains as far as what to talk about.
Jeremy's like,
gamer stories. I was like, sold.
Yeah, I was like,
for
you
two quatloos
in a day. I got podcasts. I got to come up with something.
Exactly. So we're going to talk about some gaming stories, and Jeremy's got a bunch. I mean, there's that whole one with the hotel.
Oh, God.
And the blind girl yelling rape.
Yeah. Oh, God. That just makes my brain hurt just remembering that. And she honestly didn't know what was wrong with screaming rape in the middle of a populated hotel. Yeah.
This was before my time. I never had such exciting days.
We all freaking flipped out. We're all like, shut the hell up!
I'll tell the story because right now, the story sounds horrible. Thank you, Ethan.
You're welcome.
So
it's funny, but
now is when
the story.
Now is when I edit you down to, yes, there was a blind girl and raping, and all fun was had.
So now we did have three fans, but Ethan has destroyed that.
No.
And we're all
going
to
prison. We had three fans, but now we have five fans, and they're not exactly fans.
and we don't want those two additional fans at all.
No, the original three fans have left.
But they left.
We got five new fans that we don't want.
We've had some very interesting stories of people very much in character saying very inappropriate things at very inappropriate times.
Yeah.
Like the guy who played a woman who was talking about riding a motorcycle.
As much since we started recording our sessions.
That's not true. You should listen to the one that from the game
that we
play with Rachel.
It still happens. It just doesn't happen nearly as often.
Now, that's, I think, mostly because we're older.
Oh,
we're boring.
We're older and more senile.
No,
boring.
I think the term
is
50. Mature, but...
senile,
so,
right.
So, back to boring.
Back to the raping.
Ethan's all about the raping, and that kind of worries me, actually.
Well, Ethan, I must say you'd make
I'm
going to
gather
Viking.
My stuff and go. Probably far away.
Jeremy will be back in episode 65 when we are on Medicare.
Well, he will be the one that we'll be talking to on the phone because they've screwed it up for us again.
That or in episode 51, there'll only be two hosts, and it will be Jeremy and Nathan. And Ethan will be coming to you live from prison, and really not at all because they won't even turn on my mic.
And they'll have a different, you know.
Yeah, he'll be wearing one of those Hannibal Lecter masks.
It'll be an entirely new show. Anyway...
All right.
Girl,
now
hotel.
That we've gone down
this
horrible story,
I did not mention raping.
You started it.
You mentioned the actual story, which was bad enough.
Right. Fine. Way back when, we used to game at a motel, and I'm not going to say the name of the motel. There's no reason to.
It may or may not have been called the Smurf Inn.
Yeah. The Smurf Inn.
Oh,
so we used to game
it,
a lot.
I used to work there.
We used to game a lot at
Smurf
Inn.
Yeah.
And basically,
our
GM, he was really pretty awesome. He was the manager there.
Yeah.
And him and his wife lived there. And we played multiple games.
We
played multiple
games.
We played
Bob Smith.
His name is Mike. It's fine to say his name, right?
As long as you don't say his last name, I guess.
I don't remember his last name.
Right. So anyway, our GM that we liked a lot ran a bunch of different games, including there was a second edition D&D game that was a lot of fun.
This is the good Mike. So it was. He did Star Wars. He did Werewolf.
Star Wars.
Werewolf.
Actually, it was just the World of Darkness.
Okay.
And one day, we were playing. I believe it was Star Wars.
No, it was World of Darkness.
Oh, it was World of Darkness.
Because
something else happened in Star Wars, though. Well, it didn't really matter. Anyway, World of Darkness. Really, the whole point of this story is just there are appropriate times for everything, and there's not appropriate times for some things.
And there's not appropriate times for some things.
Whatever game we were playing at the time, our crew was basically myself, my brother, my friend Josh.
His girlfriend,
Nathan, and
Ezra,
and then our GM. So we're all sitting up there, and you have to take the part of the story that's important is Josh's girlfriend was blind, and she was a role player. We invited her to all the games because she was Josh's girlfriend, and she was just cool. Anyway, so we're playing I thought it was Star Wars, but I guess it was World of Darkness. And let me set the scene. So we're in a motel room, right? Bunch of guys. Well, let me set the scene. Bunch of guys in a motel room, top floor. And so we're already playing a game that most people think is evil.
So there's a bunch of guys in a hotel room with a blind girl.
Right.
At night.
A blonde blind girl.
Oh, by the way, it happened to be nighttime. So we're playing, and we're, you know, I guess it was Vampire Masquerade. And so
because Ezra's character mind-controlled.
Well, either way. So basically,
I can't remember her name now.
Basically, our female player at the time was being attacked by one of the other players. So, thinking on her feet, she began to scream rape. Now,
quite loudly.
We're not talking like, oh, I'm in a house and I'm just, you know, oh, I'm gonna. No, we're seeing like at the top of her lungs screaming rape. So, obviously, all the guys in the room do what you would think they would do. They froze and then looked for exits.
And then a lot of us said things along the lines of, shut the Smurf up!
The
we're
only
in a public
exit
place!
Really,
on the second
that,
floor
that was close to me was.
Is there grass outside that window on
was
the first level?
The,
we
the
were
windows.
On the floor.
And basically, my brother and I were pondering if we would survive the jump. because, you know, a motel possibly having, you know, full of people.
Actually quite full that day.
You're going to have cops showing up. And so we explained this to our female player, and she had a very good laugh. Ha, ha, ha. While all the rest of us guys were like, holy crap, scared us.
I can't believe I've soiled myself.
The cops are going to show up, and they're going to arrest our asses.
And yeah, afterwards, we all had a good laugh about it. It was pretty funny than we thought about it. And we had a very, because at first she didn't understand, you know, she's like, well, we're just playing a game. It's like, yes, we are playing a game.
Anybody
hearing that's not gonna know that. Let us explain the situation again. She's like, oh, yeah.
I could see where that could be misconstrued as bad.
Misconstrued.
Yeah.
So.
She did have a dog. Big yellow lab, if I remember correctly.
Okay. Not in the room.
No, she didn't, but she used to bring it to school.
They're in the, okay.
No, this was a while ago. She was just asking Becca asked me if she had a dog.
Oh.
Yes,
not in
she
the
did,
room.
But I
oh, yes, we are joined by Nathan's lovely wife Becca as well.
To the best of my knowledge, there was no dog in the room.
No, there was no dog in the room because she was with
so it was a bunch of guys
with
a blind
Josh,
girl and a dog
was
in a fourth floor hotel room at night.
Right.
Playing D&D.
No. World of Darkness.
Whatever. The police showing up are just going to go whatever, you're playing that satanic
we
game.
We would have been totally smirked.
They would have shot us all.
We would have just been mowed down, and then she still would have had a good laugh.
Long
it was
story
funny.
Short, if the police had shown up and shot everybody in that room, there would be no Gamers Haven podcast,
that's
at least
right.
In this current incarnation.
But there might still be a dog, because the dog was not in the room.
No. That's true.
Dog was back at her house.
Maybe.
Perhaps.
We don't know.
Yeah.
So that was one of the scarier ones, just because of the situation. So basically, if you're playing, and this goes back to where you're playing, if you're playing in a motel room, there are certain appropriate levels of volume you should not reach. And screaming at the top of your lungs, rape, probably not appropriate.
Yeah, probably not the thing to do.
Because all of your friends at the time are going to run away.
Yeah, not cool.
Not cool. I
but
still
it,
wake
it
up at night
funny.
Going,
it
oh
is,
God, no!
It is funny. Ugh. It is funny. It was funny afterwards.
It's funny in retrospect, yes.
Which is better than the
but
whole.
We gamed a lot there, actually. We gamed, I mean, there was nights where
we gamed all night long.
You know, it'd be like 6 in the morning and we would be, you know, finishing up.
I remember pulling those 12-hour sessions.
Oh yeah, we
but
did
at
there
a,
at like 9 o'clock
at a motel.
Oh.
Eight to eight a.
You would have the random people like walking around.
Uh huh.
We wouldn't always play in a room, so you'd have like just these
the
random people walking by, going, "What the hell are those people doing?"
Or the one, or you weren't there for that game. I think you were sick that game, but we were playing D&D, and someone walked by and goes, "You guys playing D&D?" I'm like, "Yeah." I'm like, "You know, that's a satanic game. You guys are going to burn in hell for that."
Uh-huh.
And Mike or Jim looked at him and goes, right, moving along, what do you need? Because he was
moving
like,
along, did someone bring the sacrificial dagger?
Wait, I think we have our candidate.
It's like, excuse me, sir, are you perhaps a virgin? Because that would just be serendipity.
Oh, and we had to reset the scene, too. I remember our GM had to reset the scene because
the whole scene
to go back behind, you know, back before all that happened. So I think it ended up in like an actual fight.
Yeah, it did, against a bunch of frat boys, which we slaughtered. Which in Lawrence
frat boys versus vampires.
No,
you know.
Frat boys versus two werewolves, a vampire, and a mage.
Oh, that would do it.
Are you sure it was that game? Because we also played vampires, too, all together.
Yeah, this was the one where I was playing a werewolf. Josh's girlfriend was playing a werewolf. You were playing a vamp. Ezra was playing a vampire. You were playing that cool mage.
See,
and your brother was playing the martial arts mage.
If I was a werewolf chick and I was being attacked, I'd just werewolf out.
Well, yeah.
Well, we had done
that
earlier.
They would scream rape.
Yeah. We had done that earlier.
Yeah, they would.
People went, like,
I think they'd be
mad.
Screaming a lot of other expletives first. But
well, true.
But no,
like,
that was.
There's an escape circus bear in here.
It's an escape Russian circus bear. Oh, God.
No, actually, I think it was a werewolf. No!
Escape
there's no such
Russian
thing as
circus bear.
I did love that about World of Darkness. You would turn into a werewolf, and people would just be like, no, oh, God, it's
Whoa!
A bear, a polar bear.
That's a big gopher.
It's a moose. Like, how did you get moose out of it?
It was a mountain lion. It was a mountain lion. They burrow.
Yeah, they burrow.
It's a big tabby cat that ripped off my legs.
What happened in the werewolf game I ran was the werewolves were a new pack, and their rite of passage was to go to this Hollywood producer's home and retrieve a silver glaive that he had purchased at auction and get it back for the tribe. And so they were given instructions to don't go in and kill everyone because that would be bad.
Whoops.
They did a good job. One of the characters posed as like a Steve Irwin type of guy and basically managed to talk his way into the compound and basically had all of the security guards convinced that there was a mountain lion on premises. aided by the fact that one of the other characters had raged out in a Kreenos form and then gone back into human form right in front of one of this outside security guards.
That's one of the funniest things to do.
And the guy obviously failed his check and the other guy who was posing as the Steve Irwin type of guy convinced him that it was a mountain lion that had attacked him. And so he had them all convinced that there was this mountain lion prowling around the property, and that mountain lions can get up to be 9 feet tall, 24 feet in length, they have razor sharp claws, and that they burrow. And so he's going around telling these people this. In the meantime, the other two characters have snuck into the mansion and run into this producer and immediately kick up a conversation with him based on his movies and pad his ego into letting them see the glaive. They managed to get the glaive out of there without killing anybody, except the funniest part, it was a Get a Fenris, it was a Shadow Lord, and it was a Fianna. So the Get a Fenris and the Fianna were more combat characters, and the Shadow Lord was the political character. The only guy to be injured in the whole thing was the Shadow Lord. He got hit by the Silver Glaive, and it was aggravated damage. It was the funniest thing. That was about my only venture into werewolf before we had to stop.
See, we had we played a couple of vampires.
They burrow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, totally.
Well, we played a couple of vampire. In addition to the mage, we played vampire, and we were playing one where basically. We were playing the prequel, basically to gain more XP and stuff. Because, mm-hmm. you know, depending on the session, you might only get one XP. It was
one
something
or two
ridiculous.
Points. Oh, it's the old White Wolf thing.
Yes,
yeah.
The old
so
World of Darkness. System.
My character
like
at the time
is like, sweet, I leveled.
We had a modern day vampire, and he was like kind of a, well, he was searching for other vampires. In my vampire,
apparently they fixed that in the new.
Did they?
The new. World of Darkness, but yeah. I don't care because New World of Darkness sucks.
Well, my vampire was actually had started out as a mage, and he was in the ritual. Was it Tremere?
Yeah,
yeah.
The
he was in the Tremere
the,
ritual.
Were the
so
mages that became vampires?
Right. So the other player is going down inside this catacombs, and he finds this body with a stake in its heart. and he pulls out the stake, thinking, well, it's probably a vampire. So my character wakes up, and he immediately goes, I'm obviously a god, because I'm the only surviving apprentice of the Tremere. And so he attempts to explain to me how I'm a vampire, and I'm like, whatever. And then we start to basically run around. I think we were in England at the time.
Yes, we were.
And at one point, you know, he's trying to explain to me about buses and cars and how many years have gone by. And at one point, I get hit by a bus. Well, I'm a freaking vampire, so I die. But when I wake up, I'm in the morgue. And so, again, I prove that I am a god because, well, I have not died. And, of course, we go running around the hospital and we raid the blood bank and, you know, much merriment. Well, I thought it was funny. The other player didn't quite think it was funny. And I guess
hadn't even run into me yet.
His prince didn't think it was funny. And I was like, so we'd run into these other princes and they'd be like, oh, I have all these politics I had to follow. And I'd be like, I'm a god.
I don't have to follow your mortal politics.
I do not follow your rules. And I still survived. None of them killed me.
None of them could.
I never did much of the White Wolf stuff, so...
You didn't miss out on anything.
Oh, they could be fun.
I did play in a game of Mage for
only
a while.
If you
that
had
was a lot of fun, except when the GM wasn't flipping out.
The problem is it has to be run by a competent GM who knows what they're doing. Like that World of Darkness game you ran. Aside from the fact that some players were woefully underpowered.
When this GM was on his meds, it was a good game.
But aside from some of the games were obviously woefully underpowered, like Hunter.
Yeah,
but you had
I'm Hunter the Reckoning. I have
Hunter was
lame
ridiculous
powers that don't do jack.
Yep.
Yeah, at least they
apparently they
fixed
that in Hunter the Vigil. But again, that's the new way.
Really,
World
at that
Darkness,
point,
I don't care.
How really, at we, that point, ever... Hunter was just.
I mean, come on! They made Werewolf the Forsaken. WTF? What the?
Ooh, sparkly vampire t-shirts.
All right.
Said the werewolf.
Someone closed Jeremy's notebook.
No. I sent werewolf pictures to everybody.
Yes, I noticed.
No.
Thank you for that, Jeremy.
No, see, the thing is this it goes back to the whole thing that we talk about on many, many occasions. Your view on any of the games that you play will be heavily biased by the quality of the GM.
Oh, yeah,
that's running it. It's like
my one experience with Traveler was terrible because the GM was crap.
My one experience.
So I don't like Traveler because of that.
My one experience with Mutants and Masterminds at a convention was crap. Uh-huh. Although I had a great time and it was funny because the people were great. The GM obviously didn't want to be there.
The GM who stalked me over the last 3 years.
Really?
Yes, because that's the same GM that he did that adventure. The next year I signed up for a Deadlands event. It was that same bloody GM, and I decided not to go. Then the next year I went to another event, and it was the same bloody GM. I was like, no, this is Gen Con for crying out loud.
What are the odds?
Well, I've told
just wanted to break his neck and get it
story
over with, you know.
So now it's your guys's. Come on, you told one.
Yeah, I did tell one.
Yeah. We got a lot of time to fill up here.
That's true.
I mean, we're just kind of sitting here. I mean,
well,
I could play HeroQuest.
Well, ask me a question. What do you want to know? What do you want to hear?
Well, do you remember...
Back when I was... some of my first role-playing stuff was Marvel Superheroes role-playing. And I remember early on with that, I don't know if anyone remembers the Vault from Marvel, which is their supervillain prison. I had two or three different... instances of a vault breakout that was entirely just combat session. Of course, those would always end with an earthquake and all the an earthquake and everybody dying because
and then there was an earthquake and everybody died.
Yes, and shake the map and move on.
What were you saying, Nathan?
I was curious if you remembered the whole the little rune over the doorway flashes. Okay, do you have 90 hit points? Well, no. Oh, let me see your character sheet.
Yeah, so I had this tower.
My first game session with him ever.
Or the sewage hole into the guy's bed.
Actually, I got to go back to Mike and those days though, because one of the funniest. It's just a little scene. We're running through this castle. We just broke in. Outside, my brother was playing a dwarf, and really he was outside to
We were running. Him and his brother and I were running a diversion. We were setting off crossbows with fire, and like catching buildings on fire and outrunning the guards.
Well, okay, let me
still before
let,
my time.
Let me put some. Let's add some background to this. So it was on Mystara.
Mystara.
Whatever.
And
one of the lame settings.
Back in second edition, it was the
cool.
Sweet.
Yeah, but it wasn't Red Steel.
I will beat you to death with that pop can.
What? Spelljammer? Come on. Okay. We all know that's going to be the next setting.
How many Roloids here, multi-symptoms, I can stuff down his throat before he dies?
Probably those three packs of Tums.
Okay. Right, anyway, so, and we were in this, basically this evil little dukedom, and we really hated the guy because...
I have all the control. I can turn off your mics. And then it would just be me talking to myself, and that would just be weird.
So there was this evil duke, and there was a lot of money on his head every place else. Well, we tried to collect the bounty multiple times. It just didn't work. And
couldn't get close enough to the guy.
This guy was pissing us off, so we broke into his castle. Oh, yeah. Nathan and my brother Andrew, they decided to do a diversion while we snuck in. And we're running through the castle because we were thieves at the time. And we're like, ha-ha, we're in the castle, la-la-la. And we're opening up doors looking for stuff to steal. And I mean, we're opening, looking, nothing there, close it. So we open this door, and the GM just looks at me and smiles. I'm like, oh, God, what is he going to say? And so we open the door, and let's see if I can get this right. Inside... You're going to have to edit this, and it's going to take away a lot of it. Basically, he says, you look inside, and there's a very, very confused, surprised-looking guard, and he's balls deep in one of the maids.
That was Justin running it, right?
No, that was Mike.
Mike, okay.
See, because good Mike there, he had this really, like...
Dirty sense of humor.
Dirty sense of humor, but it never grossed you out. It was funny. So we're sitting there, and he's like, balls deep in this maid. And so we just shut the door, because, I mean, he was just doing his thing. Yeah. Him and the maid were just doing his thing.
Sorry to bother you.
Carry
on.
This was Gavin Drake.
Yeah, so we ran up the stairs, and we ran into the maid, and we're like, ha-ha! And the maid just threw something on the floor and walked off, and we're like, what the hell did he just do? And they're like, is there a countdown? Delayed blast fireball to build the window. Oh God!
Yeah, he blew up his own level of the tower, killing a bunch of his guards and stuff, trying to eliminate his
back.
And
the
escape. It was him and one of the other players. The other player was playing a winged elf, Navarial, and she when they jumped out the window, she grabbed him because she loved Gaven.
So we survived.
And, so they survived. In the meantime, we're like killing guards and outrunning them and shooting people with crossbows and stuff, not having any idea what's going on. Yeah. And the whole reason they actually broke into the tower, one was to kill the wizard for the bounty, but there was also a reward out because he had kidnapped some princess. We never did get her.
Well, we were
really still there to this day.
We were a very
Smurf
group of adventurers.
We were terrible.
We were more about the money than anything. The money and the women.
We were mercenaries.
We weren't very good at it.
You have to tell them the end of the story with what you did when you saved up enough money for it because you were so pissed off at that guy.
Because we're dorks, we were able to enchant his tower. Well, we had latrines built. We had a lot of money by the end, and we still couldn't defeat the guy. We just gave up. So we had these latrines built, and we like to keep our latrines clean, so we had them enchanted. And every time you use the latrine, it dumped the stuff in his tower. And the best one was the one above his bedroom, because we snuck in, and we were able to place the rune. Basically, the scene, he's like laying there, and we're just like, everybody sit on the latrine!
Yeah. The guy deserved it. He was a douche.
Wow.
That's sometimes the best things that can happen to bad guys is they get shat on.
It was worth it. It was worth it completely. And that game was like...
See, I have the only second ed thing I ever did before I met you guys was actually at a convention. It was at Colcon 3, I believe. And I played a third level paladin with two other people. And it was a boring as heck game, but...
That's sad.
Yeah, that was my only foray into second ed before you, Jeremy, ran it a few times. When I had Vidar.
See, my
and I brought about a snowstorm.
See, my threat.
That was funny.
I always think to myself that when the game starts getting boring, that's when things get interesting, because at that point I'm probably bored too.
Same time I just started drawing cards out of the deck of many things to see what would happen. Yeah.
We had a lot of good times with the second edition way back
then.
Oh,
yeah.
We had good times with Vampire, but we also had a good GM running at that point, so that was a lot of fun. We had, all those little types of things where, you know, vampires running around because they failed their save against fire. And so they freak out in the middle of the village and eat half the village just because of that fear. You know, little things like that.
Yeah, that was actually Vampire Dark Ages, mm-hmm. that one. I remember that one. Yeah, that one was bad.
I mean, it just goes to show you, you got a good GM, you can just have a blast even with a crappy game system.
Yeah.
I mean, because AD&D does have its pluses and minuses. Its minuses are called skills and powers. You know, it's by the time they finally got rid of that, AD&D was so convoluted.
Yeah. Well, but at that time, I didn't know anything about vampire or mage or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, like, my brother and I are playing, and my brother's playing a stinking mage who could, you know,
the Akashic Brotherhood.
He could unravel people's souls.
Yes.
Yeah, that was awesome.
When I played mage, I was a virtual adept.
Well, we were in, I think it was Dark Ages.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was back then. The virtual adepts didn't come around until
I had
two.
Some Egyptian princess who actually
caused people to melt.
Yeah, she had ripped the man body, and actually caused a werewolf to explode.
Yeah.
Nice.
The werewolf was like, I'm going to eat the little girl! And I'm like, oh god, I'm going to be eaten!
I'm covered in werewolf.
The other
I remember that game. That was a World of Darkness Dark Ages game because I played a Bubasti.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I actually had fun with it with the cat thing. Actually, I had more fun with the Bubasti than I did with the werewolf in one of the earlier games, because the earlier game just it failed. One of the players decided they didn't want to show up anymore, and pff, there goes the game.
Well, we have stories of games puttering out just because that happens.
Yeah, that werewolf game that I ran actually had a very strong start, and then we started doing playtesting for Clockworks instead, and we never did get back to that werewolf game, sadly. But I think that would have been a fun campaign.
But
we only got two sessions of it in.
Yeah, see, the thing is this is another thing, like the old werewolf system, werewolf...
Yeah, this was... this was...
the Apocalypse. Werewolf
Apocalypse Revised Edition. Yeah.
Second
edition revised, the good edition they put out.
Yeah, see, I would not have problems going back and playing Werewolf Revised.
Yeah.
Period.
See, I would love
the
to
old
play
second
Mage.
Edition. Yeah, or Mage.
Or even, for that matter, a good
vampire
game. I really
like how the magic system worked in Mage. The magic system in Mage was just, I think, spot on. And, you know, I'd probably even think about running a Mage game at some point.
I would be inclined to try.
Running World of Darkness is tough, especially with the old system. Until you told me the way to do it is to consider the background of mythology.
Right.
You know, don't take everything saying, yes, the apocalypse is going to happen and all that. It's like, well, no, that's just a mythology.
Yeah, and not to mention...
When you do that, it makes a bit more sense.
You don't...
It's a lot less hopeless.
Really, what you should think about, too, is one thing I had a lot of fun with was, in addition to the main game, we had prequel things, or we had side things.
Yeah, which, for the werewolf game, I ran the first change for everybody separately.
Yeah, and you can do, like, just a couple of people, and it's like how they met somebody or whatever. Mm-hmm. They get a couple extra
XP. It's like an origin story in a superhero game.
And the nice thing about vampire or werewolf or mage, you can actually have the people that are like, I'm an Egyptian princess. I am, like, you know, 2,000 years old. I have some nifty cool powers, but I'm still balanced enough to be with the rest of the party.
Right.
Or, yeah, I was one of Tremere's apprentices because it's funny, but I'm not any more powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, I got some cool stuff out of the actual game itself, but that's because I played in it.
Yeah. Lots of the trick.
But
Yeah, I always had a good time. A lot of the stories that I have for role-playing games are all with good Mike and with Jeremy. Because before that, when I was 13, my brother stopped role-playing with me. Didn't want to run games for me anymore. He was too busy doing what he wanted to do.
Yeah,
and so
oddly, my brother got me into gaming, and I've only... obviously, recently I played his tallest game and all that stuff, but up until that, I think I'd only played in two games he'd ever run.
Yeah, I used to play in games with my brother all the time because I was the only person around. But when my brother got older, he just didn't want to game with me anymore because he had other people to game with, and so I got left out. So I stopped gaming from the time I was like 13 to the time I was like 15 or 16, and then I met Josh. Mm-hmm. I hadn't met Jeremy yet. I didn't meet Jeremy until after I graduated from high school. Actually, I didn't meet Jeremy until 99. But I met Josh, and I gamed on the side with Josh and the thing, I don't even want to say his name, the smelly one.
Stinky. Right.
Yeah, Stinky. And
harsh, but yeah.
Well, yeah, harsh but true.
True. Harsh but true.
Yes, yes, we have met the stereotypical Stinky gamer.
The unwashed gamer. And, you know...
Funny thing is, I knew that guy in junior high and determined I did not want to be friends with him. So before I even met you guys, I knew that guy.
Yeah. But, yeah, I just, there was no one else that I knew that gamed. But between that time, I've actually focused more on my artwork and stuff like that. But once I actually met Jeremy, I met Jeremy through Josh and introduced Jeremy and Andrew and Ezra, regrettably, to Mike. Because Mike was my boss before I got accused of sleeping on the job and got fired, which is funny because the maid that accused me of sleeping on the job got fired 2 weeks after I did for stealing $15,000 in money from the hotel, from the inn. And then they immediately came back and apologized and wanted to hire me back, but I was already working somewhere else. And that was actually through Jeremy I met Sam. You I don't think you've ever met Sam, but...
Nope. I knew a Sam.
We should talk about Star Wars.
Oh, God. What do you want to talk about with Star Wars?
64D6 roll?
Star Wars in general, because we also played, with Mike there, we played Star Wars. That was the main game
that was the first. That was the first game that you guys actually joined me on, because I played Werewolf the Apocalypse with him and Josh by myself for a long time. And then when I had you guys, I told you should come game with us, we played Star Wars. And I had started making a character for Star Wars. It was my own race. I made my own race of these lizard people. And I was started off as a smuggler. Because I wanted to be Han Solo, right? You know, who doesn't want to be Han Solo when they're a kid? Everyone else is like, I want to be Luke Skywalker. I'm like, I want to be the filthy bastard who, like, shoots people while they're talking.
I want to be a Jawa.
And that's what Jeremy was. And Jeremy was an awesome Jawa with reflect shot, which was funny. But
was this the Jawa Jedi?
Yes, this is the Jawa Jedi who smelled like
almonds.
Yeah, which has got him.
That's why I got kicked out of the tribe,
because he didn't smell bad.
Nice.
I didn't smell right.
It was a fun game, and like what he was saying was I don't remember the exact number of dice. It was almost triple digit though, because I had sunk all of my experience points into piloting my junker. I had. If any of you played the old Star Wars game, you'll recognize the Space Tortoise, the Gertrock Stock Freighter. Mm-hmm. That's what I had, and I had modified it.
Oh, I played Star Wars D20. I've also played the Star Wars D6 under Jeremy, but the only real Star Wars I ever did before that was I ran a Star Wars Feng Shui game once.
Yeah, but Jeremy will remember the Gertrock Freighter, which was my ship. And I had modified it to the gills. I owed something like 230,000 credits to a space mobman, which was why I was doing the jobs I was doing, was to make the money back.
Right.
And there was at one point we had suddenly garnered the attention of the Empire, because this game actually took place during the rebellion, and so the Empire was deciding that they wanted to eliminate us, and we were taking off in a very big hurry from an asteroid planet called, I think it was Pothos, and the way they had it was there was multiple locks of shields on this atmosphere containment system around the planet, well, the asteroid, the planetoid, and we were flying out, and the Empire was closing these locks trying to lock us into, you know, a specific shield area of the atmosphere so that they could eliminate us. So we had 5 TIE fighters on us and 2 TIE interceptors, and here I was with my dice trying to fly the ship out of these locks.
Oh, yeah.
And so first roll, you know, it was the first lock. We were moving as fast as this poor little Gertrock freighter would go, which is crap.
Right.
And so we're flying. I make my first roll. It was my piloting skill and one of my stat skills. And I ended up rolling like 6 times on my karma die because I rolled a 6, which was really good. So I managed to make it with ease. The second one didn't happen so good. I actually ended up taking off a part of like the communications dish because I didn't roll quite high enough. So the third lock was closing fast and we were nowhere near it. So I decided I'd burn a force point. And we calculated up everything and pulled out the dice and ended up rolling something like 65 dice, 65 D6. I had a cube of D6s, 36.
The only time I ever rolled that many dice was in Champions.
Yeah. I had a cube of 36 D6s that I bought specifically for playing Star Wars, figuring that would be more than enough dice. I had to borrow dice for this roll. And suffice to say, I had well over what I needed for the roll. Basically, the way that the way the GM
no,
Mike
him, not his character him
yeah, the way Mike described it is like suddenly you start glowing as you concentrate on moving your ship and you're like, hang on, give me that blindfold. So I put on a blindfold and I'm sitting here talking to someone behind me, not even looking where I'm going, while piloting the ship, and I managed to make it through the other 6 locks and out into space,
while
losing
the conference call for a dissertation on astrodynamics.
Yeah. Managed to make it out of the shields, but none of the TIE fighters did. They all got locked inside the planetoid. Yeah. They got locked inside the planetoid and couldn't follow us, and I managed to jump before the Interdictor Star Destroyer got there. So we managed to escape. That's probably – I seem to recall everybody going, go, 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 because like, there was no way we could take out the TIE fighters and the interceptors. They were too fast for us to shoot. Really high attack rolls.
The rest of us weren't very space oriented. We were all Jedi oriented.
Yeah, I was the only person who was not a Jedi in the ship
until our bounty hunter came along. But at that point, we were like, "We're supposed to do Jedi stuff, and Jedi stuff doesn't include flying or shooting stuff from ships."
Yeah, and so the bounty hunter and I were the only two that actually had any skills outside of Jedi skills that could do anything. So when it came down to any firefights or anything, it was us.
The bounty hunter that used the belt of
a thermal detonators to intimidate a dark
force trooper.
Yeah, which are scary beyond reason. It was a fun game. We had a really good time doing that game.
Yeah, I miss that game. You know, honestly, I do. I miss gaming with Mike. I wish he was still in the area. He moved back to Iowa.
Yeah, but I always hope he listens to the show.
Yeah, it would be awesome if he listened to the show.
And he knows some of our stories, and he's like, it would be cool if he would show up someday. We could game with him again.
Yeah, that would be one of those nice pipe dreams.
He was one of my favorite people.
Yeah, and he was just funny. You know, everything he ran was just amusing in some way, shape, or form.
We need to be wrapping this up because we got more stuff to move on to.
Yeah, I know. But he had. Remember how good his timing was? Because we always played Star Wars music in the background. He could time things from the music, time what he was saying so it matched with music that would fit the mood for what was going on.
Right.
And we all just looked at him and was like, "That's crazy." And he was very good at it. Yeah, I do miss gaming with him. I'd like to see how he's doing at some point in time.
Well, we have other gaming stories, but you know, sometimes with the
and maybe we'll tell some more again some other
on our 100th game or
maybe
100th
episode.
Yeah.
Or if we get copious amounts of emails, we'll
I was just going to say for all the bad stuff that occurred, we met some cool people, some people that weren't as cool later on, but you know, overall
and some people
are cool.
that actually there's some people we met who were seemed cool that then seemed not cool but are actually aren't bad people.
Yeah. Well,
and it's just we didn't realize it at the time because we had our perceptions colored.
Hey,
I still am.
Jackass.
I thought everybody hated me.
I still hate him. Really.
Yeah.
Just like his wife.
Well, how can you blame me? I got a nice wife.
Yeah, you do.
In more ways than one. Zang.
Anyway, that is it for the discussion. We'll be back after this.
Thank you. Gamers Haven and the Vorpal Network, in association with Pinnacle Entertainment Group, present. A Thousand Monkeys Production.
Deadlands. Enough room to die.
An actual play recording of Deadlands Reloaded. Available for download at www.canadiancrusaders.com.
This is the Vorpal Network.
Get the newest releases at RPG Now. Only at RPG Now can you get the absolute latest and best releases from fantastic publishers like Palladium Books and White Wolf Publishing. There are new products every single day. Come to RPGNow.com and get them the instant they're available.
Your gods are cooler anyways.
And we're back talking about gods. And the three-parter, really.
Yeah.
But today in the three-parter, I've got a review, Nathan's got a rave, and Jeremy's going to give us a bit of something, some news, probably.
Really?
Yeah.
Should I go look for news?
We're going to be talking, I think, a little bit just about the Origins Awards.
You want me to send a werewolf picture again?
You want to send him a werewolf picture?
I could send another werewolf picture.
Sure, why not?
So, should I get a Origins?
I got it. Don't worry about it.
How am I supposed to talk about it?
We'll all talk about it. I'll interject.
Fine.
And complain.
Anyway, I've got a... Well, you did most of the talking during the discussion, so you need to shut up.
I like to hear myself talk.
Well, he also has all the stories, and even though I was involved in all of them, it's easier for him to tell them. I mean, I add the little things that he doesn't remember, but...
Yeah, I've just had a very boring gaming time. Anyway, we'll start
That'll change as time progresses with us around.
We'll start with the review.
The review.
And today I am reviewing, you've probably heard some of the reviews if you've been listening to our snippet feed, or it's not really our snippet feed, it's in the main feed, but we are releasing new snippets, sort of audio reviews of games. So far it's just been me. I've been going to a board game night at our local friendly gaming store, Lovely Tabletop Games, whom we love at tabletopgameandhobby.com.
Everybody loves tabletop.
Anyway, I had a chance last week to play the Battlestar Galactica board game, and I just wanted to just reiterate how much I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. We had six people playing. I was not a Cylon.
That's what he says.
That's what I say, yes. Really fun game. It really reminded me of, really wanted me for them to do a Babylon 5 board game. I think a Babylon 5 board game from Fantasy Life would be awesome. But anyway, Battlestar Galactica is a lot of fun. It is a licensed product. The point of the game is to, if you're the humans, you want to survive and basically jump far enough away from the Cylons so they can't catch you. The other option, of course, is the Cylons, is you want to kill the humans. So, really give you an idea, is there's about six ways for the Cylons to win and one way for the humans to win.
Make it to Earth.
Very hard to do. But I was Admiral Adama, and as I said, we had six people total playing. In the first round of the game, basically... everyone is dealt a loyalty card face down, which tells you whether or not you're a Cylon. Then halfway through the game, once you've jumped a cumulative total of at least four jump distances, another loyalty card is handed out for sleeper agents, and more Cylons show up, obviously. And there could be a sympathizer. Now the sympathizer, whoever gets the sympathizer card. Whenever you start the game, whenever they get the sympathizer card, whoever is the underdog at that time, whether it's the humans or the Cylons, they side with them for the rest of the game, whether or not they're a Cylon or whatever. Had a lot of fun with it. We lost horribly. The first half of the game went fairly well, and then the second half of the game was pretty much Galactica getting the crap blown out of it. We had, I think at one point we were surrounded by two base stars and all the Raiders in the game.
Oh my god.
Including the heavy Raiders. Yeah, we could not get a crisis card that had a jump track movement icon on it at all to save our lives. A lot of fun. If you want to hear my full review, check out snippet number 2 on the main feed. I really enjoyed the game. I totally want to pick it up. It's $60, so I'm not going to pick it up anytime soon. But that's my sort of mini thing. If you want to hear more about it, listen to our snippet review.
Once my perfect world was gone, I knew you ruined everything in the nicest way.
The Rave.
That is fine.
Oh, boy.
Well, I don't know if many people have actually heard much about this, but in kind of a surprise move, well, to most gamers that know,
it was
announced yesterday that LucasArts was going to actually allow their back catalog to be available on Steam for download, which is kind of a shock because they've stated it many times they would never do anything with the old games anymore. Once they went into the warehouse, that was it for them. And so the only way to find games like Sam & Max and Indiana Jones and Fate of Atlantis, games like that, was to find them on some place like eBay at ungodly horrible prices of like $80 a pop. But they announced yesterday that Wednesday, today, that a lot of their back catalog games would be available on Steam. As of right now, from what I understand from looking at Steam, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, the graphic adventure, Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis, The Dig, Star Wars Galactic Battlegrounds 2, Loom, which yeah, if you Loom. haven't played Loom, definitely check it out. And Star a couple Wars. Other ones.
Is Grim Fandango on there?
Not yet. But that is, from what I understand, that is slated to be one of the ones that's coming out. What's really cool is that...
Monkey Island game?
No, but the reason for that being is next Wednesday... LucasArts is releasing the remake of the first Monkey Island game. They've upgraded the graphics and added voice acting, and it's all the voice actors from the third one, which is classified as having the best voice acting. Dominic Armato is coming back, and he's doing the voice of Guybrush Threepwood, which is just freaking cool. And you guys can check it out if you go to the LucasArts website. I know it's not role-playing game-oriented, but it is adventure game-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people that played role-playing games, especially where I was at, played a lot of the adventure games too. And the fact of the matter that LucasArts was known for some of the best adventure games of the early 90s, along with Sierra,
mm-hmm.
is just really cool that they're finally bringing these adventure games back out. And on top of that, there is a possibility that that we could see the Star Wars, like TIE Fighter, X-Wing, the older shooter games like the Secret Missions over Britain, the Secret Missions of World War II, because LucasArts did a lot of flight simulator games, too, that people mm-hmm. just completely blew off, but were really well done. And the fact that we can actually get our hands on some of these old games, which, as I said before, you could only get on places like eBay for exorbitant prices,
yeah.
is very exciting. I just hope that other companies, Sierra, Electronic Arts, Psygnosis, you know, I don't even know if Psygnosis is still around, but whoever owns the rights to them, think about the fact that they can make, you know, $5 a pop off of games that right now are classified by a lot of people as abandonware, which means that
mm-hmm.
nobody cares about them anymore. But the fact of the matter is there are fans of all those old games out there.
Oh, yeah.
I would gladly pay $5 a pop for a bunch of the old Sierra games to have them running in Windows XP or Vista without having to do all sorts of horrible emulation to do so.
Mm-hmm. I noticed they don't have Baldur's Gate on Steam.
No. The reason for that being is that Black Isle is looking at doing something itself for direct digital downloads. So you'll want to check out Black Isle's website. But what would be cool is like all the old SSI games. The rights for the SSI games are actually held by... Oh, crap.
Is there...
Can't remember the name of it, but the company still has the rights to publish and re-release those games. Mm-hmm. You put all those old RPG games up there, Curse of the Azure Bonds, Eye of the Beholder series, Dungeon Heck, Pool of Radiance. Those will sell. I mean, you're not going to make a ton of money off them. I mean, you don't want to put them up there for like $10, but you could probably get $5 out of a lot of those old games.
Yeah. Is there anything special about Steam other than just having all these different games?
Well, the
do you get anything special about downloading them?
Not that I know of. It's just the fact that they're available. I mean, Steam is one of the places where you can actually get XCOM, where it actually works on Windows XP and Vista without being like 9 million miles an hour.
Ah, yes.
And they have XCOM, XCOM Terror of the Deep, and XCOM Apocalypse. And they all work.
There's so many games out here I've never even heard of.
Yeah, they also Steam also supports a lot of independent gaming companies, so you can get a lot of really neat little games. But it's really
stuff on there too.
Yeah, brand new stuff. It's really cool that, you know, one company has brought out the bunch of their retro games. Now, if Electronic Arts would do so, I mean, their back catalog of classic games numbers in the thousands. If Steam, you know, set up something like a retro gaming section where companies could pop up their old games for cheap. I mean, the amount of money they could make off it would probably be a lot. I'd love to see, you know, a lot of those old games.
A lot of people who are looking for legal ways to get that stuff, and that would be it right there. It's it's the whole, you know, iTunes thing. You know, it's like, well, right now you can only get them illegally, but or buy them off of eBay, you know, for exorbitant amounts of money, or if they put them up on Steam, you could get them legally and
for an affordable price, a price that most people won't balk at. I mean,
exactly.
$5 for, hell, getting $5 for Sam & Max, yes, I have the original game on CD, and I play it on my 486. The fact of the matter, being able to run it on my PC with my sound card, which does the Roland GS sound set at 24-bit versus actually using my old sound canvas, it sounds better. It uses the same instrument sets, but it's clearer, and I like the ability to be able to do stuff like that. And on top of that, I never got Loom to work right with the CD. Yeah. So,
anyway, LucasArts, awesome stuff.
Yes.
Steam, cool stuff.
Way to go, LucasArts. Set an example for all the other companies out there. Other companies, if you're watching, follow LucasArts' example. You'll make money. I'm not kidding.
Don't make any Jar Jar Binks stuff, though.
No. No. God, no. Please, no.
They're going to Jar Jar Binks everything now. You're going to go
Binks
home.
And walkie-talkie.
And there's going to be Jar Jar Binks hanging out in front of your house.
He's going to go, "Hiza, Misa thinks that you need more Jar Jar Binks."
I think that's almost as bad as looking out the window and seeing the Burger King standing there.
Waving with that mask.
They would be friends. Jar Jar and the Burger King.
This just in. The news.
And now, the Origins Awards, or the news, or whatever Jeremy's wanting to talk about. Go!
So, I've gone to the 34th Annual Origins Awards winners.
Yes.
And, okay. It's some of it. Fine,
It looks a bit more respectable than it did last year.
Well, last year was crap!
Yeah, last year was a popularity contest of stupidity.
So we start off at the
top.
This
year it's just a popularity contest.
That's fine.
Not as much stupidity.
Yeah. So starting off the top, Miniature Rules of the Year, Classic Battle Tank. Okay. Yeah. Fine. Miniature or Miniatures Line of the Year, Titanus's Fury. It's a flying wooden ship.
Yeah.
How much is it? Let's see how much it is. $75.
I think you're looking at last year's.
Am I?
Yes.
No, I'm looking at 2009. Oh, wait. Ah! These were presented on June 28th, 2008. Okay, let me find the new ones.
I've got the new ones right here.
I want to find the new ones. Where are they?
Fine. Just do a Google search.
I'm here. I clicked on awards. All right. So, anyway, we're looking at the 2009 Origins Award winners. The correct ones this time. So, collectible card game rules or expansion. Play by mail.
Yeah, play by mail.
Hyborian War.
Whatever.
Do you play by mail?
Hyborian, I don't know.
I got nothing.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not big on the play-by-mail stuff.
Collectible. Anyway. Well, that seems like it's really slow.
Yeah. It's not. We're not the target audience for that.
Who is the target audience?
Amnesiacs.
All right. So collectible card game rules or expansions. Magic the Gathering Shards of Alara.
I am still utterly amazed that the Highlander card game is back in press.
Is it even on there?
Yes. It's the second one on the list.
Second one
that was nominated.
Whoa.
My company bought the rights to it.
That's right.
A Highlander card game was put out originally by Thunder Castle Games, which is out of Kansas City.
Which is cool.
Anyway, Magic Gathering won that.
Okay. Children's, family, and party games. Winner, Say Anything. I don't know what Say Anything is.
North Star Games, no idea. Really? Backseat Drawing was a lot of fun. I saw that at Gen Con last year.
Okay, historical miniature figure line. Winner, SS Panzer Division, Das Strike, Panzer Company.
Whatever. Right. Okay,
historical miniature figure game rules supplement. I gotta read them. Rise of Rome, Fields of Glory.
That sounds kind of cool. Rome's cool.
Yep. Rome. Historical miniature figure game rules tie between Fields of Glory and Songs of Drums and Shackles?
Shackles!
I don't know what that is. Really? So our 50th episode, really, we should just be drinking.
We should be.
We should just film this. Yeah. We should just film this on Friday. So this whole thing, whatever. Just delete it.
Yeah, we'll just delete it and go about our business.
We'll just do this totally drunk. Ethan can be the designated hitting button person.
I'm like, have him button. Anyway, historical board game.
Conflict of Heroes, Awakening the Bear.
See, I get an image of that, and it's just like a cave with a bear in it, and you poke it with a stick.
All right, guys, we're going to go poke this bear with the stick. It might not come out alive. Yeah. Nonfiction. Tour de Lovecraft, The Tale.
Tour de Lovecraft, Tale by Ken Hite. That's supposed to be really good, and I've talked to Ken. Ken's a good guy.
Fiction. Oh, that is lame.
Yes, the Gary Gygax story did not win.
Oh, that is painfully lame.
Neither did Robin Laws.
I'm saddened.
But Worlds of Dungeons and Dragons Volume 2, edited by James Lauder and Mike O'Sullivan.
Right, never read it.
One. Yeah, okay.
Moving on. Miniature figure, line of miniatures figure. Star Wars miniatures of Clone Wars. Now, I'm curious about that. Are those the new ones I saw at Tabletop over...
The plastic ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're Watsies. Yeah,
they're actually pretty sweet. Is it collectible?
They actually did some pre-painted plastic things as well.
Ha, that's so lame. I'm not going to have any money, so I can't get them by the Star Wars game. Miniature figure game rules. Classic Battletech. See, again, tactical operations.
Tactical operations. I don't know much about that, but we do like our classic Battletech.
Hopefully we'll be playing it. Game accessories. What's D-Total?
The D-Total is a...
We gotta find out.
Is a die from Game Science that mimics 10 other dice.
Yeah.
One die that is 10 dice.
We gotta go check that out. We're going to the website now if you hear the clicking.
It sounded really cool, and then I heard for like the D100 and the D things, you actually have to have a table to look at for them, and I thought that was kind of lame.
Whoa, nothing came up.
It's what?
Let's try this again.
Game Science?
No, D-Total. Let's try this again. There we go. Universal die for all occasions. So is this the future?
It's 11 dice in one.
Is it the future?
It is the future.
I don't see a picture.
It is a D2, a D3, a D4, a D5, a D6, a D7, a D8, a D10, a D12, a D20, a D24, a D30, a D40, a D50, a D60, a D70, and a D80.
What's the actual site, Game Science?
It is gamescience.com.
The Origins event is actually in Ohio. Nine.
Yes.
That's so actually
how does this
well, that's not too far away, is it?
Where's a pitcher? There's no pitcher.
Jeremy wants pictures.
I want to know what this looks like. I mean, what is it? Is it a mathematical equation?
I'll see if I can find a picture.
Find a pitcher. I'll go continue reading. Right, so back to... what were the other ones on there? We had Chibithulu.
Chibithulu.
Okay, fine. Classic Battle. What the hell is that?
That is the D-Total. Yeah, it looks like a die version of a tax form.
Great.
why not?
Perfect for champions.
Why not just roll the damn dice?
Right. So also in the Game of Sorcery, we had classic Battletech record sheeps, D-Total dual decks. I don't know. Living Arcanist t-shirt. Wicked Munchkin bag and die. Alright. I was just reading the other game accessories we had.
Where the hell is all this right. thing?
So, what? Role play
the Origin
game?
Award stuff.
We found it on Ogre Cave.
Ogre Cave.
OgreCave.com.
Ogre
just
Cave.
Google 2009 Origins Award winners.
Right. Role playing game supplements. The winner was Serenity Adventures.
Yeah, that seems like, you know, the people who want to fluff the Margaret Weiss wagon.
Serenity Adventures.
Because Hero Lab didn't win. And, I mean, what the hell? It was Hero Lab. Come on.
What is the Serenity Adventure? Is it just
it's for Serenity. It's an adventure for
just an adventure. Okay.
For the Serenity.
Actually, I kind of like the Forgotten Realms campaign guide.
It wasn't bad. Hero Lab, I thought, really was really good last year, though.
So. Right. So, role-playing games. Let's see who won. Mouse Guard?
Yeah. Okay.
What is Mouse Guard?
This gets into the whole...
What is
Mouse
Guard?
It's an independent game, so it's got to be awesome thing. Mouse Guard is based on a comic book series that's supposed to be really good about mice that go on adventures.
Like Mighty Mouse?
And it's really bloody, apparently. Oh. It's supposed to be really good.
So it's a ripoff of the...
But here's my problem with all of it is it's really just sort of like people saying... Here are the nominees, you know, D&D 4th Edition, Mouse Guard, and Trail of Cthulhu, and people going, huh, I want to vote for not D&D.
They should have chose Trail of Cthulhu, because that's a hell of a lot better.
Yeah.
So, what's the...
A copy of that.
Yeah.
So, how does...
I finally figured out how to break open doors. It takes the athletic skill.
There we go. You guys...
Because there was no skill
great,
for it. I'm like...
Mouse Guard might be a great game and all. Yeah, great.
What type of...
What
system is it?
It's its own thing.
Do we really need another system? It looks neat. The artwork looks neat.
I just think some independent games are entirely just overrated based on the whole fact that, oh, it's an independent game. It's got to be the best. No, it's not.
I haven't played it, though.
Anyway.
So, card games. Winner, Dominion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why didn't Monty Python's Flux win?
Have you played Monty Python's Flux?
Yes, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's a fun game.
It's fun, but
supposed to be really good.
compared to some of the other ones, yeah. Out.
I've never played any of these other games.
Red Dragon Inn 2.
Red
Dragon Inn 2 allows you to have four more players playing.
Ah.
So you have eight people playing. The hilarity that ensues with that is freaking awesome.
And
for board games, Pandemic.
Never even heard of it.
It's from Z-Man. I hear it's really good.
It beat out Agricola, so it better. It must be good because Agricola is really awesome.
Tombs looked really cool.
And then the Vanguard Award Flames of War Firestorm Campaign.
Whatever. Anyway, those are the origins. I think they're slightly better this year than they were last time.
I wish we could just go back to reading the other ones, 2008 ones.
The 2008 ones, because
we can just make fun of them.
But anyway, those are the origins awards.
Vorpal Network and the Gamer's Haven proudly present 1,000 Monkeys production of a Monty Cook adventure. Tolus, the Knight of Dissolution, an adventure for Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition. Following the threads of a hidden conspiracy, six heroes find themselves up against insane cultists, wild chaos magic, and horrors from the primordial days of the world. Urban intrigue, dungeon exploration, and high action span the grand city of Tolus, the city by the spire. Join these heroes as they explore a former brothel, the laboratory of the dreaded Surgeon in Shadows, and even secret temples of chaos cults. Can these intrepid adventurers stave off the Night of Dissolution, a dark time long foretold when the slumbering lords of chaos will awaken in their hidden lairs deep below Tolus and bring catastrophe to the world?
And
This podcast is supported by RPG Now, the leading source of indie role-playing games, with over 10,000 RPG titles from over 500 creators and publishers. There are new RPG treasures to discover every day at www.rpgnow.com.
Ethan's on a little bit angry side about the whole mouse guard.
I'm so on about the whole independent game and mouse guard and all that and blah blah.
It's stupid.
I do like the artwork.
Again, cool. It might be a
who gives a rat's ass how nice the artwork is? The fact of the matter is it's put up against two incredibly good games and it beat them out and it's not that good.
You know, it's my independent game is the best game ever because it's not, you know,
we have an independent game
or anything. Whatever.
Yeah, crappyninjas.com.
Independent game.
We're working on it.
Don't tell people about it.
Well, just blank me out.
Play it.
Go and edit me out. But yes, we have our own game.
Anyway, we have some random encounters.
No, we don't.
We do have random encounters.
No.
We have several random encounters because...
That's just random.
I ask people to send us stuff. We might even have audio by the time I edit this together.
We don't have audio.
Audio to play.
We're not even doing a podcast right now.
We'll start off with our favorite episode... Our favorite...
French commentary?
No, our favorite, Eighth Pagan...
We have a French foreign correspondent?
No.
Oh, the cats are killing each other.
Hellcats are at it again.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to go break them up. They're eating the mailman.
Oh, poor mailman.
It's a mail carrier now.
Oh, they don't call them mailmen?
No, mail carrier.
Mail carrier.
Politically correct.
Speak into the microphone before you go into the entertainment room.
Anyway, you know the whole... yes. You know the whole business going on with Eighth Pagan and Jeremy and the whole thing.
Hey, okay? I apologized last time.
I responded to, of course, to him saying, you know, agreed to French are well the French. We tried insulting them, but they sent us a letter professing their unconditional surrender to us, and we kind of shrugged off it out.
Yeah, we're moving into what is it, the Louvre?
The Louvre.
What the hell? Whatever.
Yes, our new base is going to be in the Louvre because we've invaded France and they've surrendered, so it's ours.
All of our French listeners.
Sacre bleu!
He said, right, let's get this sorted out once and for all. America did not win independence. England threw the fight. According to classified documents I found in my backyard under a rock anyway.
Whoa.
I know, awesome. We're finding stuff in America all the time, but it's usually like Indian stuff. Crap like that.
Yeah, or Paleolithic stone, you know, arrowheads and stuff like that.
And you just move it over to the next yard over.
It's just pain in the butt.
Anyway, England sent spies out to check out the continent and found nothing of interest. Had it been known that there was oil under the ground, the story might have been different, but they didn't, so they let you in. And according to the same document, they were rather upset about the tea spillage in Boston. Not only was the water cold when the tea was added, but you didn't even bother to add milk and sugar. I gotta agree with that, really.
Yeah, cold tea.
Not the tea?
The tea, yeah.
Okay.
With regard to small gaming groups, was there a reason you mentioned groups of one player, two players, three players, and then stopped? It's because all gamer... Is it because gamers don't do foreplay? That's all.
No, it's not because gamers don't do foreplay, but four players for a group size usually starts to get above the small gaming group.
Unless you count buying the pizza and getting the girl drunk first.
Right.
Yeah.
Ethan.
That happened, what, 3-4 times?
With 6 or 7.
Yeah, okay, I lost count. You're of course right that zombies do tend to eat any flesh, not just brain, which makes America the perfect feeding ground, as you suggested. With all the obesity over there, it must be equivalent of an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Well,
totally agreed. I mean,
I'll agree with that
moving.
One.
We're fat, and you know.
But of course, once the zombie apocalypse comes, we'll all slim down
that's
quite
true.
Quick.
Oh yeah, yes.
I mean, after we got done, you know, kicking the, you know, English out of our country, we decided there was no other threats because...
Yeah, well, the English were a threat?
They were a tiny threat.
Oh, okay, that is. They were more of a threat than the French.
Really?
I mean, like, come on.
It was a threat. They put up a good fight. We sent him home, you know.
Although George Bush, he doesn't deserve to be capitalized. God. He was not capitalized. Was a scary person to be in charge of a nuclear arsenal. He did change my spending policy. As I expected nuclear annihilation to occur at any moment, I figured it might as well buy what I wanted rather than save for the future. So he's sort of responsible for me improving my lifestyle by forcing me to buy some cool stuff. Okay, I can't argue with that.
That seems fair.
By the way, if you want me to side with you, pick the French or the Welsh to insult. Now, I know the Welsh are technically part of Great Britain, but we'd rather they weren't. If there were no whales, then we'd call ourselves Totally Amazing Britain instead. and the French are a worthy target for insult simply because they are French. Agreed.
Totally. Well, that does seem fair.
I did point out to him that we can't really insult the Welsh too much because they do film Doctor Who over in Cardiff.
So, yeah. That seems
fair. If Cardiff were liberated back into the Commonwealth of lovely Britain, that would be a different story. He did say you hadn't mentioned Doctor Who. I know that it was made there, but was not born there, thus not Welsh. Granted, but it is there now. So
they have it under their control.
It is being held hostage. Sadly, Torchwood is the offspring and has a bit of Welsh in it. Granted, and Captain Jack is awesome. Not sure if you have seen it yet in the colonies, but Doctor Who and Planet of the Dead was one of the better stories of recent years. It had Michelle Ryan, you probably know from the Bionic Woman remake, in it. I have it. I have not watched it yet because I'm saving up because I want like a long binge of Doctor Who. I do know Michelle Ryan in the Bionic Woman TV series was god-awful. She was gorgeous in it, though. I will say that. On to the French.
But hot actress does not a good series make.
And he gives us his version of the brief recap of the German invasion of France during World War II. German armies invade. French surrender saying, "Welcome, would you like prostitutes with your wine?"
That's always good.
Yeah, we like prostitutes.
So, if you're French and you'd like to send us hate mail,
I have some German.
Where would we send? Where would the French send this hate mail, Ethan?
They would send it to 1000monkeysproductions@gmail.com. Other than that, I don't care.
Oh, okay.
And I can set up. Be sure to put French in the subject line so it can be filtered out and sent directly to my
spam. Yeah.
Anyway. Galishi, a guy who's been talking to us about running a Deadlands game, emailed us back. I let him know about Deadlands Reloaded and using some cardstock figures from various things. So, I believe I have the basic sound. I was wondering what you did for miniatures. It would seem like hordes of zombies or cavalrymen would be difficult to come by, and I don't see much along the lines of official Deadlands miniatures. In fact, the closest thing I've personally found is the cardstock cowboys from previous sets of Deadlands. And they don't really even display any more than a thumbnail, an image, and a vague information of what it holds. I was hoping for something simple like a cutout or pre-painted miniature.
Oh, I got some ideas too.
Well, what we use for our Deadlands game is there is a... Let's see here. Find my thoughts on subject, brain not
working,
and stuff.
Do you want me to fill in while you're looking?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
All right, so there's a couple of choices. One, if you go to most toy stores, you can normally find like cowboys and Indians,
yeah,
cavalrymen. Those are the cheap way to go. If you want something that's pre-painted and already done, check out eBay and check out the Lego Cavalry and Cowboy sets.
Those are actually
pretty sweet, kind of pricey, but you know they're Lego, so you can pass them on to your kids or whatever.
Mm-hmm. There are various websites out there where you can find. I believe if you do a search for whitewash stand-ups,
right.
Their website actually has links to other websites that sell usually unpainted minis for Wild West games.
Mm-hmm.
What we generally use is we go to RPG Now. If you go to RPG Now, go through our website, please.
Yes, please.
We go to RPG Now, and a company called Precise, or Precis Intermedia, puts out a line of things, a line of products called Disposable Heroes, and they have two different Western sets there, and those are low price and perfect.
Yeah,
honestly, I think they're great. And you buy one, and they come in either the trifold or the trifold, tentfold, or in just counter form.
And they have animals.
They have animal sets and everything. They're great.
Don't forget about the wooden wagons and horses.
Yes, Dragonfire Laser Designs, I think, is the name of the company. They put out some counter sets that have some wagons and some horses in it that are nice too. So,
But really, I mean, look at those. Look at the cheap toys, because I mean, Toys R Us, any of those, you know, some of the smaller toy stores. Look for Cowboys. They have Calvary sets. Occasionally at the hobby stores, you can find both Civil War and Cowboy dioramas, and they will have lots of figures. Or, again, the Lego sets are always kind of a neat thing. I've got a few of those, and they're pretty neat.
Mm-hmm. We got an email from CJ.
Did you actually tell him about the figures we used, though? The specific figures? Because we ordered from a specific company.
Yeah, it's I found those through the link at the Whitewash site.
Okay, so, the Whitewash.
It's like, I think a company called Aztec, Mini Aztec Designs, puts them out.
And also...
There's also, if you go to crystalcast.com, they have a pre-painted set of...
Crystal Cast has a good set.
...of Western Minis. Actually, they sell it for another company. There is a first set and second set, but they only have the first set.
Right.
The second set you have to sort of hunt for.
And if you check out...
They're pre-painted minis.
Yeah. And if you check out Ethan's Facebook site, you'll see what he's... He modified the Ultimate GM's...
The Ultimate GM screen from a
castle to a saloon, which is a really neat idea. So I don't know...
have it appropriate for Deadline.
Right. So that's a possibility, too. So any of those things... Yeah. Check out garage sales and stuff with toys.
Oh, yeah, totally. Also got an email from CJ. CJ says, "Hi, I've been listening for a few months, have been enjoying the show, and I've recently got back into RPGing after about a 4-year hiatus, but had to take up the GM mantle for the first time in order to do it, so I've appreciated the advice you've given. I've really enjoyed the actual play episodes. I'm GMing the Keep on the Shadowfell right now and found it very helpful in a passive prep work sort of way. It's given me some good ideas on how to run the game. Anyway... I got my in-laws interested in role-playing, and they were wondering if there's an RPG for the work office scenario, something like the Office RPG. I don't know of any, but that doesn't mean it's not out there.
That would be funny.
Have you heard of anything like that? Oh, and I live in Minnesota, but my mom recently moved to Overland Park, Kansas, so it looks like I have someplace to send her when she wants to buy me gifts. Yes, Tabletop Hobby. Tabletop Game and Hobby.
Yeah, go to Tabletop.
Metcalf. It's a great, great, great story. As for an office RPG, I don't know of any personally.
But you could modify anything. You could do Savage Worlds would work well.
Worlds would work fine. I would say really...
Feng Shui would work fine.
Well, it depends on what kind of game you're wanting to run. If you want it to be like that monotonous bureaucracy type of thing, Paranoia
would be fine.
That's the start. Because it is really a catch-22. You're danged if you do, danged if you don't. There might be something on RPG Now.
So what kind of office RPG? Are we talking like, you know, there's going to be...
Like the TV show The Office. Or like Office Space, I'm thinking.
Yeah, but you don't really have zombies in that.
Yeah,
monsters.
You'd probably find more card games or board games of this type that you're looking at, but not RPGs.
I guess that would be a funny idea if you could throw in, like, weird stuff.
Yes. So really, yeah, I mean...
You could just sit at your table and do office
scenarios.
There's
also All Flesh Must Be Eaten. I know they have some things like that.
You know, really?
Zombie movies.
Really?
So.
Just get a job at any major office, and it's like a giant freaking Ravenloft horror game.
Ravenloft domain? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so...
Anyway, we also got an email from Joe McJoe. Congratulations, personally and probably for most listeners. Thank you for the first time. Thank you for the time, effort, and energy you guys put into your podcast. Keep on rocking. This is from Dan. It is Daniel, but his email is Joe McJoe. So I like Joe McJoe. Thank you again, Joe McJoe.
We
appreciate it quite a bit.
Did he have a question?
No, that was it. He was just praising us.
Well, we like praise.
Well, we like praise, praise, yeah.
Praise is always
but
nice.
We could also like questions, too.
Yes.
We got an email from Andrew. Not your Andrew, different Andrew. Andrew Wilson said, "Hello, so I was going to wait to email you until I listened to all of your actual play podcasts, but you keep begging for feedback. So I figured, what the heck, I've almost listened to all of the actual play. The New Wizards College and Lost Tales went up recently, so I haven't listened to those yet. I'm still on episode 7 of Deadlands. I was behind on that since, you know, it's not D&D. I also haven't listened to your feng shui and maybe others that are slipping my mind because they weren't D&D. I'll probably get to those eventually since I'm kind of OCD. Must consume all role-playing media."
You should check out the Deadlands.
"Since you hadn't gotten any negative comments on Hercule's accent, I'll go ahead and register a formal complaint. I won't say the accent is bad, as I'm not an expert on such things, but I will say it's a trifle annoying. Also, isn't he supposed to be from somewhere French-like? It's certainly not a French accent.
Yes, I originally wanted him to be more French, and then really just sort of ended up being a bad British accent. I never said it was a good British accent.
That's true.
So,
you never did.
Oh, no. None of us can actually do a good British accent.
No, not at all. I just enjoy being a complete fop with him.
Yes.
As for a topic for your episode, how about reviewing some of my company's D&D 4E material from Silent77.com.
Wow.
What is that?
That's his company website, Silent777.com.
Silent, then the number 7, and then the word 7.com. I haven't looked at it yet, but I'll take a look, obviously. I've been a bit busy with various things.
Rune Soldier?
Seriously, that doesn't seem like a good episode 50 material, so maybe save that for episode 51. Episode 50 should be all about you guys somehow, but not something boring like why I started gaming or what I get most out of RPGs.
Always going to hate the show.
Maybe if you have some awesome stories of things that have happened to you guys as a result of the podcast, but that you haven't yet shared in recorded format. But no podcasting has made me a better person and the world a different anyway, thanks for the entertaining you with all of your podcasting, Andrew from Silent 77 Games.
Ha ha.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
Yes, we appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed this 50th episode. Really, we don't have many stories about, you know, the impact of podcasting.
How the podcast makes
it's
us better.
It's gotten us lots of free stuff. Which, you know...
We turn around and review.
We try.
We turn around and review usually unless it's really crappy and then we try not to talk about it. Because we talk about it and tell you it is crappy.
In hopes that they'll fix it.
The nice thing is we've got a lot of review stuff to go over.
Oh, yes.
Should we tell them about CanCon?
We will tell them about CanCon when we're done with the emails.
Oh. Yes. Are there more?
But wait, there's more!
Yes. Joe McJoe sent us another email, said you should set up a D&D 4E game for, he says Ethan, but I'm pretty sure he means Nathan, and then have him review it afterwards, or since you all three GM, you should discuss encounter design or designing an encounter. We may discuss that at some other point, but we decided just to pat ourselves on the back instead.
Well, we have the right to, I mean,
yes,
it is our podcast.
It's not like anybody listens. I mean,
yeah.
We can say whatever we want.
We got an email from Mo. It's signed Tog the Grace Seeker.
Really?
Yes. I'm looking for an appropriate first date card game or board game or whatever. Please do not limit yourself to ones that you have played or
Risk Godstorm.
Yes. No.
Hero Quest.
Do not do Hero Quest. Or as
Axis and Allies,
devices, but also those you have heard lore about. Thank you very much. Keep up the D&D sessions and the snippets.
Right. Axis and Allies.
No to Axis and Allies.
Ethan doesn't know. Axis and Allies.
Yes, I have so much.
Settlers of Catan.
One here, so,
Settlers of Catan.
Settlers of Catan, not bad. It sort of depends on if you want to. Like,
what kind of date
the
is this?
Entire night, you know?
Is this the first date, as in, oh, it's a first date, I'll see you later, you're gonna leave, or is this the first date, like,
if it's, you know, dinner and then a game and you
and
know, then you
then
gotta, then a movie or whatever, but if the game is gonna be the main thing, Settlers of Catan might not be a bad idea. I have never played.
Well,
it,
well,
so.
Wait. He's listened to the wrong podcast.
He is.
There's probably a podcast out
it's
there.
It's called The Porncast.
Because there's probably all sorts of board
there's
games.
There's probably a porncast out there.
You know,
I'm not going to go look.
It depends on what. Is this a nice, friendly date? You know, you're going to a movie.
Flux is good, I think.
Yeah, it's a card game. Especially Zombie Flux.
Easing this person into it, Flux is good. You can move on to Monty Python Flux.
Zombie Flux.
Or
Hex.
Thing.
You could start off with start the relationship off with a bang. With Bang.
Well, you need Bang is 3 or more people, not 2 people. So.
Then go on a double date.
That's true. You could do that. We don't really. I would say Flux is probably a good one.
Chrononauts.
It's an icebreaker. Chrononauts, not bad. That takes a bit longer.
You could just play Axis and Allies.
You could if
you don't ever want to see her again.
You don't ever want to see the girl again. Yeah.
She may like Axis and Allies.
Have dinner with her, determine if she's someone you want to see, and then break out whichever game. If it's a good date, Flux or
how about
something
Key Largo?
Like that. Or Key Largo's
I'm
not
just
bad.
Saying names now, because I don't know.
No, Key Largo is not bad. Kill Dr. Lucky.
I'm saying, depending on the date, he might want to listen to a different podcast.
That's true.
I mean...
Okay, we're going to move on before this gets horrible.
It can get really horrible.
It can.
I can go downhill. Just
Jeremy, any more downhill and we'll be hitting the subway
lines. I can go right off the cliff.
Under the sewers.
Right off the cliff. Has something to do with the French.
Yeah.
Sacre bleu.
Anyway, got an email from Sanjian Unkara, which is just an awesome
name. That is
name.
An awesome name.
And he's listening to Sanjian Unkara? The Lost Tales of Ashiram, actual play we've put out. And he has to say, I have to deny your red card and substitute a green light. Your games are intensely amusing. It's too bad that you aren't what you claim to be, Canadian. Then what? I can try and finagle my way into your game. As
we
long
are
as you're
Canadian.
On the West Coast, that is. We're not Canadian, but
okay,
we could be.
We could be. We're not, though.
We're Canadians in heart.
Where are we?
In superheroes, at least.
Where is this place? What location are we in? Is this kind of like
this
Canada?
Is Kansas.
Oh, we're that's not Kansas. Like Canada. Not like Canada at all. We could pretend it's like Canada.
We like stuff.
We have grass and trees.
We did get an email, from Paizo Publishing espousing that the Pathfinder Core Rulebook or D&D 3.75 is coming out on August 13th. That if you want to order it, be sure to order it before Monday, July 13th, which is 5 days from when we're recording this right now. So go to your local game store or call Tabletop Game and Hobby.
Yeah, just call Tabletop. It doesn't matter where you're at.
It doesn't matter. And just they'll give it to us or something. I don't know. For our email.
Are they
now.
Having a 3.75 party?
I don't care.
A Pathfinder party?
No, 3.75.
It's coming out at Gen Con, but we're not going to be at Gen Con.
No,
instead,
we're not. Because we're all piss poor broke because real life interceded and
sadly,
sucks.
13-year streak is now over.
Yep. 12 for me because you
it's
were going for a year longer than me.
It's
yeah,
probably
you missed a year.
Yeah.
So we started going, I think, at the same time, but you missed a year.
Yeah, I missed a year. It was 2 years ago.
It's probably good. It's probably good on the credit card. Probably
it
good
is,
on the cash.
Is, but it's my vacation. So instead,
it's the only one that we take.
That I'm going to have a bloody vacation one way or another. And that gave birth to...
As he shoves it down our throats!
I said, guess what we're doing on the weekend of Gen Con?
Hold still!
Said, we're having our own convention. We're having...
They're like, oh, God.
And we all went,
And you guys went, oh, God. And I went, screw you, we're having it over at Jeremy's house, and I'm
like,
organizing the darn thing. So
yeah.
Gotta do something on that weekend.
And he is doing all the organization.
Thankfully, the people who suggested that we do it at my house were... gratefully shot down and thrown to the wolves because I don't have the space for 25 people to come tromping through my house. My cats will kill someone.
I haven't decided if I have truly the space. We may have to like just dump some people out back.
That's fine. We can set a table out back because if the weather's nice, there's
there
no reason.
Go.
There's no reason not to play
here's
outside.
Here's some bug spray. The mosquitoes are kind
of
bad, and the lawnmower's over there. If you could trim the lawn.
We're having CantCon, so it's for those of us who can't con. There's CantCon. And so it's a very tiny convention that we're running down
it's
here.
It's our convention.
In the lovely state of Kansas, actually.
And it's VIP. Like,
it's a VIP guest list only type of affair.
I mean, really, no one else is getting in.
No one else is getting in.
You could send...
It is something that I think we should try to turn into
a We're going
to
have
thing.
A bouncer.
It might grow, who knows.
You
but, because
know.
God knows this town needs some...
Convention material?
Stuff and
you could also talk about the fact
year.
That freaking we mentioned that we were doing a convention to some of our companies and they're all like hell yeah and start
yeah,
sending
yeah,
us stuff.
I decided just to go ahead and ask, and a few companies have said, oh well, we'll send you stuff. So hey,
I think they
we've
just
got stuff to hand out to the
and
people.
They're really just going to send us like a blank piece of paper
and go
ha-ha,
screw
and
you.
Still raffle that off.
Oh, that's fine.
By God, yes.
A genuine piece of paper from Wizards of the Coast.
Well, we'll see how things go this year,
yeah.
And if we have
so
a budget
far,
next
I think
year,
it's going relatively well because
we don't have a budget.
It's a lot of work.
We have no budget.
We have no budget. Yes.
Yes.
Because
we're this is the reason we have no budget is the same reason why we're actually not going to Gen Con. We're all broke.
We're all broke.
So we have no budget to throw into this. So it's very nice of companies to send stuff our way so that we can raffle it off. Because yes, there's going to be anywhere from 15 to 25 people coming over the process of 3 days.
Who knows? But it's a small thing. We're
it is
have,
VIP.
Yes, it is. It is. It
board
is.
Games and card games on Friday.
It's
Saturday,
RSVP only.
Yeah, RSVP. But I do
Sunday,
take bribes.
So. That is our big announcement, obviously, is we're holding CantCon on August 14th through 16th.
Somewhere.
In Kansas City.
In an undisclosed location.
At an undisclosed underground secret lair location, yes.
I do take bribes.
Jeremy does take bribes, so send money to Jeremy via Ethan at...
So you can take your 10%?
Yes, of course. My attorney's fees. Brokering the deal, obviously. But yes, CantCon. For those of us who can't con, there's CantCon. So we're going to see what happens with it. If you want to know more about it, hey, send us an email. If you want to say, go for it, you know, send us an email. If you want to say, you guys suck, send us an email.
Yeah, we don't care.
Because we've had some close to hate mail, but not real hate mail, so...
Well, we don't really do anything that's too off the wall.
There is that.
I mean, we're not as you know, you cut us off when we were really just going for it with the whole date game thing.
Yeah, so, the whole raping thing, right?
Well, yeah, you're all about the raping thing. But I was talking about the date game thing, and Ethan has changed.
Anyway, it is getting late, and we should wrap this up.
Sadly.
It is the end of episode 50. Here's to 50 more episodes beyond this.
Hear, hear.
Who knew that when we started this, it would be like this?
It never ends!
It doesn't end! I kick you, bring you back, kicking and screaming every time.
Forever and ever.
But thank you to everyone who has bared with us for the first 50 episodes. Please bear with us for another 50 episodes. Tell your friends. Send us money.
We take money.
We do take money.
We'd be glad to...
But thank you to
unless you
all
suck.
Of our... Yeah, unless you suck.
We'll take your money, but we'll tell you you suck.
That's true. I do want to say thank you very much to... Thank you very much to all of our listeners.
Yes.
I do enjoy doing the show. I think we all do enjoy doing the show. We're glad you enjoy the actual play. We're glad you enjoy the show in general. Keep listening is really all we can say. Thank you very much.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.
You've been listening to the Gamers Haven Podcast. You can find us on the web at www.canadiancrusaders.com. The Gamers Haven Podcast is a member of the Vorpal Network at www.vorpalnetwork.com. Gamers Haven and Thousand Monkey Productions are copyright 2008 and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Stop by our website to check out our actual play feed, fill out our feedback guest book, or hit us on the forums. Music on the show is used with permission by Joe Hero Band, www.joehero.com, and this has been a Thousand Monkeys production.
Friday night and we're headed for the drive-in. You were mad at something you thought I said. Thought a night out with you and me and BC would make everything alright. I thought you might like an Evil Dead marathon, watching Ash wreck and shop with his chainsaw. You were gone before he made it to the workshop. Now I'm standing here alone.
Vorpal Network is the bomb, the cutting edge of geekdom, comics, advice, D&D, movies, video games, RPGs, finding it's easy, just stay calm.